The Internet, the final frontier.
You're listening to Boldly Going Nowhere. It's a podcast. You listen to it with your ears. And on today's episode, we'll talk about our experience at the Sweet Tea Pumpkin Pie Music Festival in D.C. Then we're going to talk about a thrilling performance from Keanu Reeves in Johnny Mnemonic. I'm Justin Eisenstadt.
I'm Colin Kakamas.
I'm Sean Holmes.
And you just got to the good part. Strap in and sit tight, because we are Boldly Going Nowhere.
Cuckoo fucking ca-choos. Shit on your fucking bag.
Shit on your fucking bag.
You shit on your fucking bag.
Act so innocent about it, too.
I know. And
he thinks I can't get mad at him.
No, but the thing is, like, we went out, we carried stuff outside. We had to go get more of the drum kit, because we're carrying a drum kit in your house. We come back.
Not even 5 minutes.
We come in, not even 5 minutes. There is, like, a human-sized crap there, and I know your brothers aren't home.
I'd say superhuman.
I know your dad's house trained,
right?
And ish. So there we go. I was like, he shit on your fucking bag.
Yeah, and I bet he had that dopey ass grin on his face. He's like, yeah, that goes right there.
No, right. He was nowhere to be seen.
Oh, okay. Nowhere. So he know he did wrong.
He know he done wrong.
He know he done. But way wrong.
Not even 5 minutes. If you just waited like 2 minutes, I could have let him out.
Like, hey, I gotta go.
I'm starting to think that the dogs do that to spite me for having people over. For inviting strangers into our home, even though you guys are not in any way strangers.
It's like, yeah, they know who we are.
Rock knows who I am. He comes up to me and just leans his head into my
leg.
He's
like, hi. Yeah.
He's like, hi, pet me.
How you doing?
Love
me.
I don't know. You'd think by now that your scent should be just as familiar as anyone else's.
Every weekend.
Unless you guys are changing your scents, which I usually don't do that.
I go to the Baker Park and I roll around the dog turds, and then I just walk to your house. That's usually my routine.
That might
be why their noses are constantly.
I was wondering why you had that shit eating grin all week.
That was my shit rolling grin.
I'm sorry, shit rolling grin.
There we go.
You see me rolling.
I did not eat the shit, but I will roll.
They hate, and haters gotta hate.
Well,
haters,
now we know
hater,
why.
Haters are gonna hate
because you smell like shit. I love the fact that Justin hasn't realized that we've been recording this whole time.
Oh, we're recording?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The whole time.
I should have known by the
Here's the thing. Here's the thing. I realized
circle on your
I realized like we intro way I'll say this on whatever. We intro way too much. I mean, if you listen to the shows back it was just like we intro twice. Like why do we need to intro the show twice? I was just like
emphasis?
Hi Justin, I'm Sean. Oh, anyways, I was talking about. Hi, Justin. I'm Sean. Like, just how in the world does that make
sense? Well, originally it was because we had to intro during the music to actually time out his explaining the show, and then the show actually the music actually hitting on cue. That's why we did the intro.
Tell them about the behind the scenes.
What the fuck do they care?
Like you got to pay extra for that.
Yeah, like anyone's actually listening.
Behind the scenes.
Like anyone's listening.
Guess what's behind the scenes? The exact same thing.
Exactly.
I will say this, our friends listen, and that's good enough for me.
Yeah. Thank you.
Well, as far as the whole introing thing and doing two intros, there's a common rule in public speaking, if you want to be a good orator, at the beginning of your speech, you tell them what you're going to tell them, then you tell them, and at the end, you tell them what you told them. That's the rule.
Hello, I'm going to kick you in the nuts. I've just kicked you in the nuts.
Basically,
This is the reason why I kicked you in the nuts.
Oh, okay. Well, my balls still hurt either way.
Right, exactly. Anyway.
Boldly going nowhere. And boldly going nowhere, your balls will hurt either way.
No, your balls will be fine. I mean, I can't personally assure the safety of your balls in one way or another, but... I can say that none of us are going to directly impact the state of your balls.
Yes. It's mutually assured ballstruction. You know, like mutually assured
destruction. We're still naming episodes like we used to. I think this episode should be episode 2, mutually assured ballstruction. Which has absolutely nothing to do with what we're going
exactly.
to talk about.
Exactly. It's nothing
today.
To do with the content of this episode.
So now to get to the telling you what we're going to tell you part of the show.
Sure.
Today, my segment's going to be abbreviated, but we will talk a little bit about the festival, the Sweet Tea Pumpkin Pie Festival, which we talked about in much detail last time.
Yes.
And then Colin and Sean are going to force me to talk about a movie that I don't really want to talk about.
First of all, you don't have to talk about it. You wanted to be
actually,
part of the episode.
Let's be upfront. That's a total lie. I really want to talk about the movie. I just don't want to admit that I want to talk about the movie.
Okay, that's fair enough.
Because to even admit that I watched the movie is
well,
a fair
sight. You could invite your twin brother, Schmustin, to come in and comment on the movie.
Who told you about him?
He saw a giant mnemonic. He wants to tell. You know.
How do you know about Schmustin?
How do you know about Schmon?
I didn't. Now I do.
Well, now you do.
Where?
Now
you
know.
Who is he?
He's a guy who admits to every. You know.
Is he infinitely more rich and successful than you?
Yes.
And therefore wants nothing to do with you.
Yeah. That's about it.
Dang.
Much like my forgotten twin.
Your forgotten twin, Schmustin.
Anyway, so Justin,
oh,
there's a burning question I know our fans must have when talking about the Sweet Tea Pumpkin Pie Festival.
Did we have any sweet tea or pumpkin pie?
The answer,
no,
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 not at all.
Not one slice.
No,
not one drop.
Not one slice of pie. Not one glass of sweet tea. Here's the crazy thing.
Or vice versa. No glass of pie, tea.
But here's the crazy thing.
$2, yeah.
$2 for a can of Coke.
For a can of Coke.
The hell?
I can get a bottle of Coke out of a vending machine for $1.25.
But
and that still seems
Here's the crazy thing. Like, we didn't see any pumpkin pie around that festival.
Right.
But
rumor has it.
They were giving it away, but there was a point while we were walking around, I saw a dude carrying 6 crates there were pies. It said DC's most dangerous pies.
Okay, 2 questions. One, why didn't you point guy out to the rest of us or maybe
Because you guys were upstairs smoking hookah because you wanted to be
antisocial. That's the opposite of being antisocial. We were doing a social activity.
Yeah, and you left me out of it, jerks.
No, we went upstairs. I told Tim
to
go tell you.
Yeah, he didn't.
Well, it's probably because of loud music.
All right, this is not the place for airing out personal grievances. What am I saying? This is exactly the place for airing out personal grievances.
Okay, wait. No,
it's where comics go.
You don't smoke anyways.
No,
so
no, I smoke hookah.
Where were you to be found?
I was in the exact spot you left me.
It's always the last place you.
He doesn't. He doesn't wander from the place you leave him. I will give him that. He'll leave him one place.
He is
so
like
he stay
a
put.
Obedient.
He's a
dog,
ginger dog.
Ruh-roh. Anyway,
I guess
so.
Okay, well,
blue.
Question one. Come here, boy. I guess you answered question one, which was why didn't you tell us about the pumpkin pie?
Well, I mean,
question
yeah.
two was why didn't you tackle the guy to the ground and get some of that delicious pumpkin pie?
Well, first of all, I didn't know if it was pumpkin pie, but there was pie.
Pie-shaped.
There was
pie
boxes had
pie.
Had the labels DC's most dangerous pies written on it.
Dangerous.
That sounds
dangerous
awesome.
Pie. I know.
Wanted some
How can
pie.
A pie be dangerous? Yeah. How does that even work?
Hey, I don't know. It could be laced with arsenic or something.
Magnets. How does that work?
It's got another sequel, American Pie. No,
isn't Don McLean dead though?
Don McLean's in one of them.
No.
Dumb
oh, no
pie.
One wants to. No one wants
that's
to
a
see him
that's
naked.
A dangerous
no
pie.
No one
sorry,
wants
I'm
to
sorry.
See him naked.
No,
that's
no, no.
a dangerous pie.
I'm sorry. When he said American Pie, I thought he was referring to the song American Pie.
I know. Then we ran with the bit and pretended like Don McLean was in one of the American Pie movies.
My, Miss American Pie.
Why?
Well, exactly. Why? No one wants to see him naked.
Why? Why American Pie?
Anyway, Stephen and the Hawkings played 2 shows. One at the New York Avenue Beach Bar, in which both are in D.C., Washington, D.C., our nation's capital. And the second one was at the Secret Lounge, which are we talking about with the hookah and everything.
Yeah, they should really let the secret out.
Yeah, they should.
Maybe keep it less of a secret.
Yeah, they keep it less of a secret.
Well, I'm not going to say what the size of our audience was, so I'm just going to say it was average, which tells you nothing. Because average for us, you don't know what that is. So I'll say it was an average-sized audience.
It was average-sized. I think we rocked the house, though.
Oh, we played great. We played phenomenally, I think.
Yeah.
I will say this much. I mean, we had a few hiccups in our first show.
Few kinks to work out in the first set.
Right.
Mainly involving my dress shoes.
Wow.
I know you think that's a joke. That's actually completely serious. The mistakes I made were all on account of my shoes.
But our second...
No, you got to say it with the list.
I think I need pointier shoes.
Yeah.
Shoes.
But I will say this much. Our second set was infinitely better.
Oh, it was tight.
And I think it was after we were done, we actually discussed it, and we were like, that is probably the best set we've played, like, ever.
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 Ever. Ever. Ever. Ever.
Yeah.
We got our first positive tweet from a non-friend.
That is true.
Ooh.
Yes.
Someone who wasn't already associated with us
left
a positive comment on our...
It was quite nice.
Twitter. Yeah. Actually, that's not how Twitter. You don't leave comments on things. You just send tweets to each other.
Yeah, you mention.
You mention. He left a positive mention.
There we go.
Mention page. You can tell I don't understand Twitter.
I don't understand the social networks.
Would explain why I only have 33 followers. But if you want to increase that number, follow me at jeisen88, and you can see some of the wittier, insightful things I say.
Hooray for shameless plugs!
Follow me at Sean L. Holmes. I mean, I don't know why we're plugging it in the middle of the show.
Well, because it naturally came up.
Yeah, it came up naturally.
The best kind of plugs are the ones you can plug naturally.
Oh.
So.
Oh, that is true.
But,
also, find True Sayings at Sean L. Holmes for Twitter. So, anyway. And I think Colin, what's your Twitter handle?
That's not important. Anyway, let's continue.
Colin 20-something.
You tweet the most. Out of any of us.
Yes.
It's Colin the 20-something.
You're the 20-something.
Actually, no.
And
it's Colin,
he actually has a...
Colin 20-something.
Yeah.
And his actually is vaguely clever. Except I guess you're going to have to change that Twitter handle when you hit 30.
I'll be dead by then.
Well, that got dark.
Well, technically, we'll all be dead in 4 months anyway, so what do you mean?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. The Mayan prophecy. No, the rogue planet.
The
crashing into one another. NASA debunked that shit, by the way.
Anyway,
I heard they're reputable.
So, I mean, we had a fun time in DC.
That was good.
That's what
counts.
We had fun and we played well. And playing music makes me happy.
Exactly. You can't ask for more than that.
And hopefully, listening to music makes you happy. So, I don't know. Check us out at Stephen Hawking's at Bandcamp. Sorry, StephenHawking's.bandcamp.com.
Yes.
Or Facebook.com/StephenHawking. So,
also another thing I want to talk about from that day, if you don't mind,
okay. Please.
We went to another one of the venues because we were walking around D.C. We had some time before we were supposed to go on at Secret Lounge during our second set. And we went to Old Dominion Brew House.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was nice.
It was a very nice bar.
Very nice.
A very nice bar. The food was not, you know, I wasn't bowled over by the food. It was pretty average port affair.
I enjoyed my Mongolian stir fry, but we also have to keep in mind that we were starving. We got up.
Hunger was a overdone liberal seasoning.
We got up at 8 a.m., had two strips of bacon.
I woke, our drummer Brian woke up to bed bacon. I woke him up. He's like, what? And I handed him, here, bacon. Okay, he, like, grabs a piece and goes back.
He, like, literally is sleeping and nomming on bacon at the same time.
I was like,
sleep nomming?
Like, yeah, he was like,
dude, Arr. That is enjoyment. That is the best thing to wake up to.
Like, his eyes aren't open, and using his hands. You just see, like, that strip of bacon is like, Arr.
And the only reason why I'm, like, I'm
he's
cooking
like a,
bacon, I'm like, because
like
there's a shortage of it.
Like
let's cook all the bacon we can.
Baby piglet, like it can't open its eyes yet, but it just it instinctually senses. Actually, I realize that's kind of wrong. Actually, using a pig as the analogy there, since we're talking about bacon, because
inception, bong.
About to say like, yeah, it's like a little pig, and you feed it a strip of oh.
Wait. You know, if a baby pig had ever been animated, David Spade would have been the voice for it.
I know. I was about to say, suggest in this analogy, a baby pig is being fed a strip of bacon, which is horrible.
It's you know what that kind of reminds me of? It reminds me of the end of Hannibal when he feeds Ray Liotta's brain to that little kid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Open your mouth.
See, I thought you were going to say it reminded you of Hannibal where the guy gets eaten by pigs.
No, because then it would be pigs eating humans, and that's kind of normal.
That's normal?
With some Chianti.
But if a human is eating a human, well, that kind of plays back into what you were talking about, a pig eating bacon, because the pig is basically eating itself.
Right.
You know?
So the show was nice.
Anyway, so we got up at 8 a.m., we only had 2 strips of bacon, and we didn't get to eat until, like, 5 o'clock.
Yeah, that was fun.
So we were starving.
I had
the entire time, everyone's like, yeah, I'm hungry. I'm like, really? All right. And we tried looking for hot dog carts. Couldn't find.
Trying to find.
And it's DC, for Christ's sake. What? This is
every
the
time
home
I visit
a
DC, you can't go 2 steps without running into one of those things.
Where's all the street meat?
The street meat. I think the street meat's by the where is the
over
street
by the White House?
Yeah, they probably
things you don't want to say late at night. In the alley.
I need me some street meat.
Hey, I'm looking for some street meat.
Right, anybody oblige?
Anybody around here who can feed the need?
You got
some street meat.
You got a pretty mouth.
I'm going to stick some street meat in there.
Street meat.
Oh, here. Also, fun fact for our listeners, this weekend was Justin's first time driving our nation's capital.
Our nation's capital.
Nation's capital,
Nullius.
And now, knowing that you, now that you've driven in the nation's capital, are you ever going to drive there again?
I feel like I've aged 10 years just from that one experience.
Yeah, yeah. It's number one dangerous place to drive in all of America.
Yeah.
All of America. And that's including all 50 states, including Hawaii, which, you know, comes in like second and third.
That should
do you have
a second or third?
Can you cite source to back up that statistic?
I have to look
it up. Here. There are reasons why. A, Alaska is perpetually covered in ice.
Well, that makes sense. No, I'm saying why DC. Can he actually conclusively state that DC is the number one most dangerous
DC,
place to
a,
drive?
DC has the most poorly maintained roads.
And the most confusing.
Seriously, I think someone needs to go back in time and punch Pierre Infant, like whatever the fuck his name is, Pierre Infant, right in the dick.
That's going to be the plot of my next sci-fi thriller.
Someone goes back in time and punch Pierre Infant in the
dick. Okay. A quest to punch him in the dick.
In terms of
time
cities,
dick punch.
This is lowest. Lowest means like the number one is the most safe safe place to drive.
So these
Sweet Falls, South Dakota
is the safest place to drive.
The last on 195 at the bottom of the list is Washington D.C.
Wow,
I was wrong about Hawaii, but because number 194 is Baltimore, Maryland.
Really?
Yes,
I could believe that.
I mean, that's the thing. I guess I'm just used to driving in Baltimore because
collision,
Baltimore, to me, is pretty straightforward.
Collision likelihood versus the national average. In Washington, D.C., it's 112.1% more likely.
Totally believe that. But
And average years between collisions, 4.7.
Now, if you want to say cities where you're most likely to hit a pedestrian, I'm going to put Baltimore definitely way up there. Because people in Baltimore do not give a shit. They just walk out in the middle of the street.
Yeah.
Regardless of what the signal says.
Well, someone's got to make some money.
And a lot of people from there have been moving into Frederick. So we're getting the same pattern of like, I don't need a crosswalk. The world's my crosswalk. Like,
where the fuck are these cops? Where the fuck are cops giving these people fucking tickets for jaywalking?
Yeah.
Why are they doing their job?
But yeah, I almost got T-boned by a lady in the traffic circle.
Yeah, it's like literally no, that wasn't even in D.C. That was in Urbana.
Oh, you're right. That was back in Urbana.
We like literally
all
we
those
were
traffic
coming
circles.
Around on the inner. We were coming around on the what was it? We were in the outer lane. She was in the inner lane.
Yeah.
And the outer lane goes out and on 80.
Yeah.
And then the inner lane continues around. Right. She's in the inner lane. We get to that point and she literally cuts in front of Justin to go back into the outer lane.
So, yeah, she was trying to make a left turn. Basically, she was trying to make a left turn from the right lane.
Yeah. That's...
Who does that?
Of a two-lane road. You know?
Bitches know nothing about roundabouts.
Or driving.
let's not...
You're
get,
not a bitch.
Let's not... Yeah. When I say when we say bitches are dumb,
yeah.
We're talking about bitches.
We're
not using that as
record,
some sort of catch-all
on the record,
term
my
for anyone with 2X chromosomes. It's just
yeah, 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 yeah. No, right. Yes, let's go on record with that. BGN. When we use the term bitches, we are not referring to all
here's
people
the difference.
With 2X chromosomes.
Here's the thing, you know it when you see it.
Yes.
We don't have to try and like
we're already
we don't
gotta
point
anyway,
them out.
So
you
I'm
know who they
say
are.
Qualify right the statement. You know what a bitch is.
Yes. Just we're, know that they are dumb.
We're and already you know explicit anyway, so I'm just gonna say it right now. The difference between you know bitches driving and regular women driving is bitches use their cunt to drive, and women use their mind to drive. That's the difference. That's the difference.
All right. Well, you've been listening,
which is emotional versus.
Justin's Jukebox, where we sometimes talk about music, but today is not one of those times. So, Colin, I'm going to pass it over to you for your segment, which will hopefully be less offensive to 50% of the population.
Once again, it's smaller percentage, Justin. Smaller percentage.
You're saying it'll be offensive to a smaller percentage?
Yeah. 50% of the human race are not bitches. It's more like 80 or 90%, but that's okay.
Well, look, some music's coming up. Oh, there it is.
Anyway, so...
It's BGN at the movies.
Yes.
What were you talking about today?
Well, after the festival, we decided to come back, you know, chill out. And as we are prone to do, you know, after a gig.
Mm-hmm.
And our friend Tim did me a favor, and as we were over at his house, and we were looking for movies to watch, and Tim had told me that you wanted to watch Independence Day.
Yeah.
So that was one of the movies that we grabbed. And then I found a little gem in his DVD library. I would call it a gem. I would call it a gem. Some in the studio would call this a piece of shit.
Yeah.
But that's okay. Because it's all about wildly diverse opinions. That's what makes the world go round.
Yeah.
So, this little train wreck of a movie came out in 1995. And it's goes by the name of Johnny Mnemonic.
Is it mnemonic? It's mnemonic.
Is it mnemonic?
Mnemonic.
It's mnemonic. I'm sorry. Johnny Mnemonic.
Mnemonic, as in mnemonic devices.
Mnemonic. Yeah,
Mnemonic.
The M.
Johnny
first
Mnemonic.
M is silent.
Yeah, Johnny Mnemonic.
The first M is a
Mnemonic.
Bastard. And he's silent.
There's no. I don't know where you're getting this U from.
And the movie is Johnny Mnemonic.
No.
I was closer with my first pronunciation.
Well,
you grammar Nazis.
You said Mnemonic.
Mnemonic.
Yes, and that was closer because the movie starts with a fucking M.
Thank you. I.
That's
that.
What we've.
Mnemonic?
That's what he's been saying.
Mnemonic.
No.
Is it new? Let's try.
Okay, right, it's a shitty Keanu Reeves movie.
I'll say
let's just leave
I'll
it
say
at
it,
that.
I'll say it, and then you say it. So, mnemonic?
Mnemonic.
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 Yeah. Mnemonic.
You're a mnemonic.
Mnemonic.
Not new, but
Johnny
nah.
Mnemonic. Okay,
yeah.
Fine.
Yeah, like nyeh.
Nyeh.
Mnemonic.
Mnemonic.
I know, right?
Mnemonic.
Okay, I got it.
Okay,
Johnny Mnemonic. Can you tell I'm stalling? Because I don't want to talk about this movie.
You just admitted on the air 6 minutes ago that you did want to talk about it.
I keep changing my mind.
Okay. Anyway, it's a shitty Keanu Reeves movie. It was...
Whoa.
It's Keanu post Point Break,
whoa,
pre The Matrix.
Well, I know computer. I know HTML.
Hypertext.
Yeah, this
language.
Movie was pandered as a cyberpunk renaissance film because it was starting to get popular. It was popular in the early 90s, then it sort of plateaued, and then started to get really popular towards like mid 90s onward.
The Matrix.
For
came
reference,
out.
it's based on a short story by William Gibson, who you don't know is the person who invented the genre of cyberpunk with his novel Neuromancer.
Okay. Well, let's be honest here. This movie, It starts bad and just it progressively gets worse, to worse. But
the thing is, my favorite moment comes in literally the first moment of the film, because it's the title card.
Oh yes, yes.
Where is this movie set, Colin?
The Internet, 2021.
Yes. 2021. Oh, hey, that's not that far away.
No,
this movie is set in Internet.
Yes, not any specific city. Internet. Not the Internet. Just Internet.
Place you can go to.
It is a place you can go, yes. And then our
meanwhile, in Catville.
Meanwhile, in Internet. Anyway, it starts off with this really cheesy CG footage that not even Demolition Man or the Super Mario Brothers movie would deign to call good.
Oh my god, the CG.
Even the Super Mario Super Show.
Yeah, well, so then Johnny... Our
hero had better CGI than this.
Exactly.
A way to pull the Saturday morning cartoon. I can taste the rainbow. Like, yeah. Seriously. Skittles.
Yeah.
What?
Skittles.
Anyway, but all right, so Johnny wakes up in his hotel room. Yeah. Johnny wakes up in his
hotel. Non sequitur comment to a... Wow, I can really taste the rainbow.
Continue.
Anyway,
look, no one cares. I made that laugh. You don't need to say what the movie's about.
Yeah.
No one cares about it.
I'm not going into the plot. Just some of the best moments are just in the random fucking conversation that doesn't matter.
He's a cyborg. He's got things in his head that people want to get out.
He's got a hard drive in his head, and he has a shitload of data that has the cure to some fucking disease that has crippled like 90% of the planet.
From what I could glean from my, I would say, less than fully attentive viewing of this movie, he's caught between three warring factions. They're not really at war, but they're not. They're against each other. There's the Yakuza.
Yes.
There's some guys who like live in a dump and wear a lot of leather.
The Lotex.
Yes, the Lotex, led by Ice-T.
As J-Bone.
Yeah, J-Bone. Basically,
as Predator.
Take Ice-T and then put him in the same sort of hairdo and outfit.
As the Predator.
I was going to say John Travolta in Battlefield Earth.
John Travolta playing the Predator.
Yeah, that's pretty much. That Ice-T, I looked at it, I was like, what is that?
And then the third faction is Jesus.
Jesus as played by Dolph Lundgren.
Brian Massey's holding up a sign that says $599 US.
The leader,
the pharma company who hired the Yakuza, their leader looks like Kaz Hirai. So every time he
president of Sony.
Yeah. So every time he showed his face on screen, Brian and I would yell out, "The PlayStation 3 will retail for $599 US. $599 US." Or we would yell out, "It's Ridge Racer! Ridge Racer!" it's pretty bad.
Yeah.
And so there's that, and then there's the dude with the whip in his pinky, energy whip, but...
incredibly bushy eyebrows.
Yeah, right. That was the thing that scared me more. Not the energy whip, but his incredibly bushy eyebrows.
He's the Richter of this movie.
Yeah. I would call... It would either be him or Jesus Dolph Lundgren.
I would say bushy-haired Asian man, because he's like Richter in Total Recall, and then he's just relentless in his pursuit of the main character, regardless of whether it actually
matters.
Matters,
because it really doesn't.
Even after it ceases to matter, he just can't rest until he gets to kill the main.
Exactly. Character. So there's that. We'll see. There's some other things. The slutty chick from Starship Troopers was in it.
Not Denise Richards.
No, Dina Meyer.
Yeah, we have to specify.
She beats up a transvestite. I'm sorry,
the actress who played the slut in Starship Troopers, not the actress who is a slut who was in Starship Troopers.
Okay.
She beats up a tranny, and no, she wasn't working on a car. She was actually beating up a transvestite. It was pretty funny.
Yeah, there's some.
Yeah. Oh yeah, Udo Kier's in this movie.
Ralphie. I guess there is a fourth faction. Ralphie is.
Udo. Well, no, he's working with the Yakuza, so okay. Technically.
Brian Savage.
Ralphie. Yeah. Ralphie is played by Udo Kier, and he has two transvestite guards.
Yeah.
Like one you can kind of see could be female, but the other one like literally looks like Kareem Abdul-Jabbar in shitty kabuki makeup wearing a wig.
We don't know what we're laughing at, but Brian is sort of in the
Visual reference in an audio podcast. He's writing signs. The last one was, "You'll shoot your eye out, kid."
You'll shoot your eye out.
Anyway,
they did. Yeah,
yeah. Some moments of insanity. Henry Rollins was in this movie.
Yeah.
And yeah, oh yeah, and it was, oh yeah, and the explanation for what caused this horrible disease that debilitated 90% of the population, it's this, it's all this, it's everything, information, technology. I'm like, let me get this straight. A debilitating neurological disease is caused by using technology.
Yeah, I watched this entire movie start to finish, and at the end of the movie, I still had no idea what the disease was, other than that it was called NAS.
Yeah, or the Black Shakes.
They didn't say what it stood for. Or
yes, they did.
Did they?
Nerve attenuation syndrome.
Okay, well, missed that part.
That was in the intro sequence, Justin.
All
right,
what?
Right before Internet 2021.
Anything before Internet 2021, I didn't see. That's where the movie starts.
Yes. Keanu overacts in this movie. He doesn't overact a lot in movies.
How could you say that? He doesn't act, period.
Seriously, he does. He overacts like as much as Keanu Reeves would overact,
it swings violently between like was
cuz he's
Jordan. Who is the princess from Dungeons and Dragons? Thor Birch. Keanu Reeves swings dangerously from Thor Birch like underacting to Nicolas Cage overacting.
The Nicolas Cage
back
part where he's sitting there, he's stretching, he's like,
and like he's doing these yoga moves. I'm literally expecting him to go, where?
Okay, there are some moments like that, but I think in general, I would best describe, and I've already made this comment.
Right.
But I would best describe Keanu Reeves' acting style as man who has suddenly woken up in an unfamiliar place and has no idea where he is.
Yeah,
and is just trying to get his bearings.
Yeah, the funny thing is, it's like in almost every scene, he's got these giant bags under his eyes, like he hasn't slept in like 10 years.
Yeah, he's got
either
like
that
the,
or
the vent,
someone has
the
punched
Spawn
him in the
look,
face
right?
repeatedly, which actually does happen quite a bit in this movie.
Yeah.
Keanu gets beat on like nobody's business.
Oh yeah, he gets.
And when
his
he
ass
gets
well.
Connected to the internet, he's already in the internet, but because
they're all in the internet, that's where they live.
Internet, they're all in internet.
They're all in internet. Oh, and what is it?
Yeah, internet just kind of looks like Detroit.
Oh no! It starts out in the internet, which is this fantastic CG bullshit, and then it goes to this hotel room where he's in like. There are moments where it's like. They want you to sympathize with Keanu, but it's a failure so badly. Like, remember at the end where it's like shit is like just falling apart all around him? And he's like, I don't want to be responsible for the world. I want room service.
Yeah.
I want a $10,000 night hooker. I'm like,
we all do.
Why would you pay 10 grand for a hooker?
So, I don't know.
What are you looking for, Heidi Fleiss? Jesus Christ, man.
And the one scene where he puts on the power gloves, essentially, is what they are.
Yes.
So bad.
Nintendo power gloves.
It's so bad.
And he waves his hands in front of, like, basically it looks like a cutting board with that's graphed out.
As we've mentioned, horrible, horrible CGI, he's manipulating some sort of pyramid-shaped puzzle made out of smaller pieces.
And it's supposed, and he has, like, this ridiculous... I don't know what it is.
And
like
I said to Sean, that's what's happening inside your iPhone right now.
It was like the training remote from Star Wars. I don't know what it really was, but it was covering up his face. And he's just sitting there like waving his hand. Yeah, I got it. Almost got it. I'm like, what are you
doing?
That
was the funny thing. Like right when he started doing that, Dina Meyer was like, yeah, I was like, yeah, seriously. Right when he started doing that, Dina Meyer was like, what are you doing?
It's one of those movies where
let's keep that in mind. Even in the context of the world of the story, that was a weird thing for him to do.
Yeah, I think Dina Meyer just broke character and she was like, what the hell are you doing? He's like, I'm trying to figure this puzzle out.
It's not working.
The director said to ad lib. I said, I don't know what that means. Where Why? Who? Okay. The funny thing is, Sean left halfway through this movie to go to sleep. Yeah. Understandably so, because I could tell Sean wasn't really invested in it.
No.
Which is fine.
I actually said that out loud. I'm like, guys, I'm not really invested.
I'm not invested in this. Do you have any weird dreams about it?
No, I just woke up.
Okay, good.
No, so here's the thing. Probably the greatest slash dumbest portion of this movie comes right at the end. Okay, like Henry Rollins.
Spoiler.
Yeah, I'm just gonna go ahead and spoil it. This movie's been out since 1995. Yeah, you're not gonna watch it. What do you care? So this movie, it's this whole time Johnny is trying to get this data out of his head, and so finally they find out that there's this one Navy cryptologist who might be able to hack the data in his head, right? So they take him to the headquarters of the Lotex, Ice-T and his bunch of leather-bound miscreants. So they introduce him to Jones, who is, by all accounts, a fucking cyborg dolphin. That's not a joke.
Oh, yeah, I remember this part. Cyborg dolphin.
How could you not remember this part?
Oh, yeah.
It's not a joke. It literally is. It's a dolphin in a tank. It's got, like, half of it is, like, Terminator face. Yeah. It's got a fucking satellite dish strapped to its back.
No, I remember it had the thing across its face, like, what's it, LeVar Burton in Enterprise.
Yeah, it's got some sort of visor.
Like, yeah, it's all sorts of fucked up.
Gordy.
And basically the idea is, it's, the U.S. Navy experimented on him and turned him into a hacking genius.
Right. Yes.
And apparently, it gets really offended when you... Apparently, if you call a dolphin a fish, it gets extremely offended.
Oh, yeah. You don't go there, son.
Yeah, because Keanu calls it... It's like, it's a fish.
You did that on purpose.
Wow. Oh, dolphin puns.
Yeah, can we also mention that Jones is capable of defending himself because he can project sonar... beams that can actually like hit people and I don't really know whatever
it's sonic waves.
Sound
I guess
waves to
the
do.
Idea is
what's
that
your age,
normal,
sex, and echolocation.
Yeah, it's like you know dolphins have sonar. They emit a high frequency pulse and it bounces off.
He's hooked up to an
like,
amplifier. Can like
it doubles it. It's all bullshit. Let's be honest. I think any point, if you've gotten that far in the film and you see the fucking cyborg dolphin, that pays it off right there.
And what's great, the best thing for me is that realizing how utterly idiotic this is, the director made sure to include a reaction shot of the dolphin like every 5 seconds from the moment that it's introduced.
Because
like
it has a wide range of emotions, Justin.
Yes, not a single action goes by where we don't cut to the dolphin going, ee, ee, in its tank, just to make sure we know what it thinks about what's going on.
Because it knows how to,
Jones is
knows how to deliver that emotion with a sense of terror.
Well, let's be honest.
Let's be fair, Jones the dolphin can still emote better than Keanu Reeves. I definitely bought it more from Jones the dolphin. When I could really sense that he was in danger.
I want you to make a sad face. I want you, Keanu, to make a sad face. Keanu, you're doing nothing.
Just look at Jones, do what he's doing.
That dolphin looks really sad.
That's a sad dolphin.
That's a sad
dolphin. Show me happy dolphin.
You're making
dolphin.
Me cry.
All right, Keanu, show me sad dolphin. Show me happy dolphin. Show me angry dolphin. Those are all the same face.
some choice lines.
Now show me angry, Keanu. All right, no, don't just breathe harder. No.
Don't just breathe harder.
Don't breathe through your nose. No, stop.
You
doing
got parents and stuff.
Stop.
I'm doing it right.
No, you're just doing Tai Chi.
I love Kung Fu.
You're not doing Kung Fu.
Yeah, that's offensive to followers of Tai Chi. First of all, Keanu, you do not know Kung Fu or Tai Chi.
I know Kung Fu, okay?
For the last time. You don't.
I learned it from Genghis Khan, okay, man? I know Kung Fu, I know how to sword fight, and I know how to play the guitar. My friend, Bill S. Preston Esquire, taught me.
Wait, okay, who made the comment last night when, one of the things we forgot to mention is that because of the data that's stored in Johnny's head, his brain is, like, melting on him, and he's constantly having these weird, like,
image sequences, like these daydreams, these flashbacks.
Yeah.
And someone made the comment last night that was like, "Oh God, he's having visions of his future film roles, and that's what's causing him to freak out."
I think it was Brian, and it was the line was, "Oh God, he's having glimpses of Constantine."
Yeah.
He's freaking out. He's seeing Constantine. Ah.
I will all give it to Brian.
That was pretty good.
So, all right. Well,
I mean, yes, I would. The sad thing is, even though this movie is absolute shit, I would tell you to go out and see it in a heartbeat because it's just so utterly goddamn ridiculous.
Go out to your.
Now I will say this much: our esteemed friend Jordan Hazelwood, the synapse of the Geek Critique, informed me earlier tonight that there was actually a live-action version of this movie as a video game.
Yeah, here, I'll let you speak into my mic, Jordan.
Yeah, so...
Yeah, I'm really interested to hear this
game.
Thank you very much, Justin. Hey, Jordan here. Well, unfortunately, I haven't seen the movie. However, I did see the gentleman Noah Antweiler, also known as the Spoony One. He reviewed the video game. The video game, as I understand it, is live action, full motion video game, like, you know, Night Trap or all those other races that don't seem to be being made anymore for unfathomable reasons. So they took a bunch of complete no name actors and Isaac Hayes and basically kind of remade the entire movie in video game form.
You think they just would have gotten clips of the movie to just put in the game?
Well, of course they have to shoot some original footage, mostly of your character standing there like a complete doofus doing nothing while you grope in vain to find some place to click on to make him do things.
That's like the movie. That doesn't sound like extra footage. That just sounds like every single movie.
Yeah, pretty much.
But as far as I can gather from listening into your synopsis, the story was pretty much in verbatim in the video game, and it seems to translate pretty well into video game form, considering that the hero needs to find three MacGuffins scattered around the world and putting down Yakuza with whips in their pinkies and such. So yeah, it should have worked.
Should have worked.
Unfortunately, by virtue of the fact that it's a video game that Spoony reviewed, clearly it did not work.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, the thing is, Jordan, I'm not lying to you. That I mean, from what you've told me of the video game, I guarantee you should see the movie simply for the fact that it is a once in a lifetime opportunity. I mean, I don't think anyone at this table, with myself. I don't think anyone at this table is ever going to watch Johnny Mnemonic again. Fuck you. I don't care how it's pronounced.
Okay. I do want to say, though, that while I haven't seen the movie, I do vividly remember one line from the trailers that played before it was released. Way back in the 90s, I just, to this day, I distinctly remember over a shot of Keanu Reeves plugging a coaxial cable into his head, that the extremely serious trailer narrator says, "He has over 80 gigabytes of data in his brain."
Oh, wow.
I use that as kind of a benchmark, I think, in today's modern world, because I now own a 1 terabyte external hard drive.
I own a 2 terabyte, so yeah, it's like, in this laptop here, 250.
That may actually be the first time in my life I ever heard the word gigabyte.
Yeah.
So, that was a big deal back then. Now, I think of this whole concept of him being a data courier who has to, erase parts of his own brain in order for it to be reformatted in computer data. And I think to myself, did William Gibson not foresee the invention of the thumb drive?
To think that back then that amount of data was inconceivable, maybe to an average audience member, but I have to think that an intelligent
writer like William Gibson might have thought about that and be like, we'll probably be able to store more data than that in 2021. And yeah, he can hold 80 gigabytes in his head, or 160 if he uses a doubler, which I don't believe they ever really explain what that is or how
he
works.
He upgrades his RAM, I guess.
It's a power up. He just walks over a
you, yeah. Da, you da, da, 2x multiplier.
2x multiplier.
Well, the amount of data that gets put into his head is double that. He has
320
gigabytes. So to think that the fate of mankind is resting on data the size of, I don't know, maybe a box set of The Office.
That's like the. That's literally. Well, no, if you think about it,
it's pretty laughable in the year 2000.
No, well, not even that. It's like you have to remember. Not only is it you know, you're downloading into a space that is less than the size of an office.
Season
box
one
set.
Of Jersey Shore.
Right.
Yeah.
But also take into account, you're downloading it into the brain of Keanu Reeves, which is the mental equivalent of a broken 14.4K modem.
Yeah. I'm suddenly reminded of this one Cracked article I read. And how long has it been since we returned to Cracked on the show?
Actually, it's been a while.
They were talking about the comic book from the 80s, the Transformers comic book from the 80s, in which Optimus Prime kills himself over grief from cheating at a video game. But it's okay.
Can't believe I used Game Genie. No.
But it's okay because one of his interchangeable human boyfriends already downloaded a backup of Optimus Prime's brain, and it fit on 1 3.5-inch floppy disk drive.
Wow.
Which means that Optimus's entire being is no more than 1.44 megabytes. And so the guy writing the Cracked article added a animated GIF of Optimus Prime slam dunking a basketball and said, "This composes a fourth of Optimus Prime's entire being."
I was gonna say, sort of on that subject, like the human brain, like we don't know how much information the human brain can store. It's in
27 exabytes.
It's a lot of memory, but I would actually believe it if Keanu Reeves' brain could only hold 160 gigabytes of data.
I can believe that.
I would actually believe that.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, I think
you
we
know
should
what's
wrap
funny?
This up.
Yes.
Most of it's ducks in a pond.
I would say if I had to give this a score, say out of five power gloves?
Yeah.
Five power gloves?
Five power gloves. Five power gloves.
Okay. I'm giving it a 5 out of 5 power gloves. One of my favorite movies ever.
I'm going to give it 2 power gloves out of 5 because he used to. And
fair enough.
And the fact is Keanu is overacting. I was like, it's not a movie I enjoy. But
you didn't even get all the way through it.
But exactly. That's a testament to how bad it was.
Or how tired you were.
Or yeah. Well, either way, if it was a good movie, I would still stay up and watch it. It didn't hold my interest. So go ahead.
As a movie, I give it 2 out of 5 power gloves. As a mind fuck, I give it like 8 power gloves.
All right.
Brian gives it 1 power
glove.
But Justin, the rubric only goes up to 5. How can it have 8? My mind is officially fucked.
Bam.
Bam.
Whoa. All
right,
well, I think we can go ahead and wrap up the show then.
Oh wait, yes. Butt plugs.
Oh, yes,
butt
we have plugs. To. We have to do the butt plugs.
God damn it! Can't you just say plugs like a normal person?
So you've been enjoying Boldly Going Nowhere, available to you on the Castwave Studios network. Sure, we'll call it a network.
Yeah, we can call it a network. We got more than one.
We
show
have more
at this
than
point.
One show. It's officially a network. So visit www.castwavestudios.com to check out Boldly Going Nowhere, One Drunk Geek, BGN Comic Shop, and all the other fine entertainment available from Castwave Studios and
like music.
Your friends. That's us.
Don't forget to check us out on Twitter. We are at BGN Podcasts. However, as Sean previously mentioned, we all actually have our own private Twitter accounts. Justin's, I believe, is J Eisen 88. J-Eisen88?
You can follow me at J-Eisen88.
Sean.
How do you spell that?
J.
I need to type it down.
E-I-S-E-N.
Okay. All right. I got it.
88.
All right. Thanks. Thanks.
How about
I am Sean L. Holmes, S-E-A-N.
How do you spell Sean?
H-O-L-M-E-S. I already just said it. Just said it.
There Why aren't you paying attention?
And then you go give us the thumbs, which is the like button.
Yes.
At Facebook.com/BGN podcast and Facebook.com/CastWaveStudios and Facebook.com/Stephen Hawking. Why not? You're still there. So, and then
other shows. We want to plug Jordan Hazelwood of BGN Comic Shop has a show on YouTube.
An excellent show.
Called Geek Critique. That's critique with a K.
It's at youtube.com/synapse. If you go to the bios page in on Castwave Studios, which is at castwavestudios/bios, you scroll down to Jordan's. It's links right there, and you just click on the synapse, and it should appear up on that YouTube page.
Yeah. Actually, if you go to the bios page, you can also see what we look like, but be prepared to be
horrified.
Disappointed and, your appetite being dislodged. So.
Fat guy, skinny guy, and middle of the road.
Also, don't forget to shop through us.
Amazon.
At Amazon, which you go to castwavestudios.com/support, which you can find a variety of ways to support Castwave Studios and all the shows here, including Bully Going Nowhere, BGN Comic Job, and our video show, One Drunk Geek. You can click through or you can shop there.
Either way. Well, until next time, I'm Justin Eisenstadt.
I'm Colin Kakamas.
I'm Sean Holmes.
And we are Boldly Going Nowhere.
Outro.
Boldly Going Nowhere is a Castwave Studios production. For other shows and more, visit castwavestudios.com. Wow, that sounded great.